When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16:13-16. Now it's time for Who Do You Say I Am with Father Mitch Pacwa. And now, Father Pacwa.
Hello, peace of God be with you. I'm Father Mitchell Pacwa, and we're doing a brand new series about the New Age movement. The New Age movement as we see it in the United States and in Europe and perhaps some other parts of the world, but mostly among us. And this is different from my other series, where we've talked about the Old Testament. But I've sensed a growing problem with this New Age movement that's been expanding throughout our society. And I'd like to address it from the perspective of Scripture and common sense and philosophy, theology, science, use a number of perspectives, because I think that there are a lot of problems. Now, I'm betraying a certain prejudice right away, and that's going to be throughout, because I will be critical, but I'm critical as someone who has had a lot of involvement in it, both personally and with other people. Back when I was in college, I had engaged in a number of things that would now be called New Age. It wasn't then. The idea of the New Age movement is something that was identified in the mid-1970s. It came from a lot of past elements, but the mid-70s is when we really started to call it the New Age movement. And in the 1980s, the mid-80s, is when people on a popular level started to see this New Age, especially through the influence of Shirley MacLaine. She would be the main proselytizer that brought the New Age up to popular awareness, popular consciousness. And I'd like to discuss some of the things I've read about the New Age by New Agers themselves, by their critics from the religious perspective, and by the critics from the scientific and philosophical perspectives. There's a lot to go on with all of these different movements. Before we proceed to talk about its roots, we have to define the New Age movement. What is it? First of all, we have to talk about it as a movement, as a network of networks. That's one of the most popular ways to understand it. By the New Agers, and by non-New Agers. Now, networks are not highly structured organizations. They're not like churches or governments or political parties where everybody has a certain role and a certain amount of power and has a similar vision of reality or the same goals. That would not be true of the New Age movement. The New Age movement has a very wide-ranging group of groups, and that it's a movement of people throughout our society, in particular in America, also in Western Europe a lot. And the people have a certain similarity of perspective, but also great diversity and a real lack of organization. Now, by being a network of networks, we then have to say, well, what holds them together to be New Age? And what is characteristic of them of New Age? Well, let's think about that. First of all, we have to see that one of the most important qualities of the New Age mentality is belief in what we call monism. Now, monism means that everything is one. It comes from the Greek word monos, which means one. In other words, everything is one big reality. It's one truth. It's one experience. And this oneness, or this monism, characterizes the New Age movement. They want to believe everything is one. I think that that comes from a desire that people feel in our society to experience unity and community. We live in a society where a lot of people feel alienated. They don't feel that they're in relationship. They don't know their neighbors as well as they might have done a generation or two ago. They don't know their families as well. Oftentimes they live far away from their grandparents, aunts and uncles. Their own mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters are all scattered around. Frequently, I've been on airplane trips sitting next to little children who are going across the country from their mom over to their dad or vice versa. So that we feel alienated as families are split apart and broken apart and are hurting. That this alienation causes pain. And kids feel it. I'll never forget flying to Boston with a four-year-old and a five-year-old, boy and a girl, who were going to see their dad again. Well, that alienation caused them pain as they traveled back and forth. Well, people feel that pain and that alienation, so they want to feel one. And monism, the idea that everything is one, is a response to that, a response that people find a need being met through. So the next thing about that monism is that not only is everything one in the world, but everything is God, and we call that pantheism. And pantheism is a basic characteristic of the New Age mentality, that everything is truly God, everything is divine. The chair behind me is divine. That the camera that is picking me up is God. I'm God. The earth is alive. This is a very common thing among New Agers. The earth is our mother, and she is very much active and alive when she has volcanoes and eruptions and storms. That's her responding back, because she's alive, because she's a God, and the sun is a God. But most importantly of all, for the New Age movement in America, you are God. I'm a God. And not just a God, but we are divine, because everything is God, and especially we are God. Now, one of the things that follows from that divinity, because we don't live like we're divine, we don't live like we're gods, that we somehow have to come to realize that we're gods. And this is also typical of the New Age movement, that it wants to come and find out our divinity, to become aware of our divinity, conscious of it, enlightened of it. That's the main problem with the world. We don't know that we're God. You don't realize that you're a divine person, according to the New Agers. So their problem is to discover that. And the goal of so much of what the New Age movement is trying to teach people is to show the divine power that you've got. Once you realize it, we'll end the world's problems. Now, another aspect of the New Age movement is in its very title. Not only is it a movement, not only is it trying to realize monism and pantheism, but it's looking for a brand new age, that is, a new millennium. And they define this age through astrology. This has been true for almost 100 years, where they believe that we have moved out of the age of Pisces, that is the astrological sign Pisces, which was the sign of Christianity in the old age, and now we are moving into the age of Aquarius. Just like in the song, and a lot of people talk about the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus, which was a book written around 1900. And this new age is what we're going towards, and you can't stop it. It's evolutionary development going forward. Now, let's just summarize then. What do we mean by the New Age movement? It's a network and loose movement of loose organizations that believe that everything is one, and that one basic thing is God, or all God, that we don't realize that we're God, that's our problem, and yet we're moving to a new age where we will realize that we are God. Now, we're going to come back in just a moment to look at the roots of these ideas, so please stay with us. Welcome back. We've just finished summarizing a definition of the New Age movement as a movement that is focused on believing pantheistic monism, where everything is God, everything is one, and that we have to attain a new consciousness of that, according to them, and that we're going towards a new age of receiving that consciousness, and that there are all these networks trying to get us there. That's how they would define themselves, and it's a good definition for us to use for the New Agers. Where do they come from? What's the roots for this? Why does it exist? And then how are we to respond to it? That's the question that I want to deal with. I think, first of all, in terms of the roots for the materials of the New Age movement, we have to look to Oriental religion, especially to Hinduism and Buddhism, and that form of Buddhism we call Zen. Now, they all don't agree among themselves either. And the New Age movement has picked and chosen from different aspects of Oriental religion. But one of the things that we see that's very common in Hinduism is that we have a belief in pantheism and monism. The Hindus, of the last few hundred years especially, have, at the intellectual level, emphasized belief in pantheism and monism. On the popular level, that's not so strong, but it is present in intellectual. We're going to have a whole show just about the history of Hinduism and how it affects the New Age movement. Also from Hinduism and from Buddhism somewhat is a belief in the importance of reincarnation, the belief that we come back again and again. Now, the New Age does not have a Hindu notion of reincarnation. The New Agers have a very Americanized version of it. And we'll talk about the difference between Hindu versus Americanized New Age reincarnation. But they also have picked up an Americanized version of karma. Karma is a Hindu word that means the law of cause and effect. If you do something wrong, you will get punished for it. If you do something right, you'll get rewarded for it. Not by God, not by a personal God who chooses to reward or punish you, but rather by this law that is built into the universe. And if you don't get your karma in this life, you'll get it in the next life. And that's a very typical view that we see from Hinduism. Another important thing to get out of Hinduism and Buddhism, to understand the New Age movement, and from Zen, is the importance of meditation and altered states of consciousness. Zen is a form of meditation by which you attain an alternate way of seeing the world as one. It's a form of consciousness by which you say, oh yes, I understand it. And they use various kinds of meditation to attain that enlightenment. And New Ages have picked up on that, and some of their roots are very directly connected to it. We'll talk about that more in depth at a later episode. And we're also going to take a look a little bit at yoga, because yoga is another way to attain different states of consciousness. And there are lots of different types of yoga. There's not one unified form, and New Ages have picked up on the different types of yoga that help people to attain this state of consciousness, of awareness, that they're one with the universe, one with God. So this is something that we see as an important source for the New Age movement. But Oriental religion is not the only source for the New Age movement. We also see that Western, that is, you know, European and Mediterranean, occultism is an important source. Various occult traditions from Europe and from the Middle East affect the New Age movement. For instance, one of the most popular, by far the most popular, is the tradition of astrology that comes perhaps from Sumeria, certainly is present in Babylon and Assyria, and it's spread by the Greeks around the rest of the world and into Europe. And we're going to do an episode or two, actually a couple episodes, on astrology and its weaknesses and why it in itself has all sorts of, you know, very foolish things and non-science to it, and it's psychologically unsound. We're going to talk about some of the problems of astrology, but this is an important source. There's also Wicca, which is European-style witchcraft. And it isn't women riding around with big, tall, black hats and on brooms, but it's a way to get power. Also associated with Wicca and again, quite common, growingly common, especially in feminist circles in the New Age movement, is a belief in goddesses and gods, nature gods and fertility gods that get associated with a lot of sexual aspects and sexual immorality, in fact. That this is another source for the New Age movement. But it's not only Western occultism and Oriental religion. The New Age movement is also very much associated with Western science. For instance, quite commonly in the New Age movement is a real love for physics, because they see that there's a big difference from the view of the world that Isaac Newton gave, where the universe is like a great big machine and everything is a cog in this huge clock, huge machine, versus the view of Einstein, where there's relativity in everything, that everything is really energy. And the New Ages will draw from that, say, aha, if everything is energy, then everything is one. And that's one of the things that they use for belief in their monism. And that energy, they'll say, is God. Now, that's not what Einstein said, but they'll say that, and they'll go on from Einstein to other forms of physics. Also very important in the New Age movement is a belief in humanistic psychology and the human potential development movement and holistic medicine. Now, a lot of this is very good psychology. Some of it is not so good psychology. There's a mixture. But they'll use various attempts to develop our human potential, our psychological potential, so that we are not merely looking at our hang-ups, like perhaps some of the early psychologists did, Freud, for instance, who was trying to heal people of their various sexual hang-ups. But instead of focusing on getting rid of hang-ups, they try to deal with what kind of growth can we have? What kind of potential do human beings have? What kind of strengths and intellectual abilities do they have? And they want, and New Ages want to incorporate that. So they'll try to incorporate that science. Also, the New Age movement is very interested in ecology and the importance of the earth being taken care of. And they're concerned with the way some science has focused on nuclear energy and caused trouble and caused pollution. They would like to help end pollution. Now, some of these things are going to be very good, and some of them we're going to be able to say yes to, and we need to. Other things we're going to have to say, this is not what Christ taught. This is not what we see in the teachings of the Gospels, and that we're going to have to focus on that. We're going to come back in just a moment and take a look at why people get into the New Age movement and what has led in the most recent history to the development of this network of networks that seeks a new age. So please stay with us. Seen a little bit of the roots of the New Age movement. Now let's take a look at why it's developed and how it's developed into this movement so recently in America. Again, we're going to do a whole episode on the roots of the New Age movement in the United States. But just to get a sense of some of the recent history, think back, those of you who can remember, about the great optimism that we had in the 50s. Folks my age, I was born in 49, and you know, we had great optimism growing up. Our daddies had come back and saved the world from Nazism and the Empire of Japan. They had taken the place of the British Empire, and we'd done all sorts of wonderful things. And there was just great enthusiasm, and the men came back from the war, and the women too, but mostly the men were back. And they, after fighting hard, they went and they got educations. There was a GI Bill and great stuff was happening. Suburbs were building up all over the place. But along with that came necessarily a lot of materialism. Very materialistic foci. I mean, again, our parents had not only lived through the World War, but also through the Depression. And they wanted to have a life better than they had and give us something more than what they had, right? And yet, there was a spiritual value that was not communicated. And it was just sort of taken for granted. Oh, yeah, you love God and you take care of, you know, go to church and stuff like that, and that's just fine. But, you know, we're going to work hard to get material things that we need. And criticism of that material approach toward life began to develop, not just in the church. In the church, it was mixed because we were helping it along in the sense that we were educating people to get better jobs. And we ran all these schools so they could go to high school, have a good job, and live well. Well, that almost seemed to play into the materialism, though we also taught in the church, and I certainly learned in school, you know, about our faith. And the nuns evangelized me, but there also was a lot of materialism just in the focus on the secular things that we also had to do. And this is all sort of mixed in together. And that the strongest criticism of the materialism on the cultural level came from the Beat generation. Now, the Beat generation in the 50s began to say that this is all ticky-tacky, it's empty, and they wrote poems and started to experiment with drugs. Marijuana, and also hallucinogenic drugs like LSD. And these beatniks developed eventually into the counterculture of the 60s. And even in some of the books I've read about the Beat generation, in the 60s, all of a sudden, they felt at home. And they encouraged people to use drugs. Timothy Leary, a professor at Harvard University, had a saying that capitalized it for a lot of people. Tune into what we're saying, turn on to drugs, and drop out of society. And a lot of students were dropping out of Harvard. And this idea and this kind of counterculture spread throughout in the 60s. It was fueled by the disillusionment that came along with the race problems in the 60s that had actually existed longer than that, but a peaceful movement to bring racial equality and justice, voters' rights, things that the men had fought for in the war were being denied to our own citizens. And so there's this disillusionment that went on. And so a lot of folks in my generation dropped out and said forget it with the culture and focused in on alternate ways of seeing things. And LSD and other drugs became a way to see that alternate view of life. Well, that led to altered states of consciousness and views of life that opened a lot of folks in my generation to Hinduism, Zen, and Buddhism. That's how it came into our society. I studied it when I was in college because this was the thing to do. This is what everybody was doing and talking about. This is where it seemed that spirituality was moving and that we didn't sense enough life in the church. And so a lot of folks dropped out and dropped out of Christian prayer. And I did that too and then got into occult things like astrology. And science seemed to support us. I remember reading Carl Gustav Jung, this famous psychologist, and that helped get me into astrology because he had used astrology when he did psychotherapy with people. What I didn't realize till later when I read his autobiography is that it also pushed him to a brink of a psychotic break, and he had to stop it. But I learned that too late. So we see that this countercultural movement led to a lot of discontent and openness to experiment with lots and lots of things, from drugs to the occult to Eastern religions and so on. Now, in this series, as I look back on the things that I was involved in and I had learned, and as I look back on, you know, what I see my friends and contemporaries learning, and when I see the fruit of the New Age movement, I'm becoming alarmed. I got back into studying some of this stuff because I saw a lot of this being taught even by religious. I was asked to go to a lecture by a nun at the invitation of another nun. And it was New Age, totally. And I would keep on calling, and I didn't recognize the New Age movement as such at the time, but I kept on saying and interrupting, say, wait a minute, you're talking about Gnosticism and pantheism and monism, and that's not Christianity. And she said, oh, no, that's not what we really mean. And I said, but that's what you're saying. And so I began to study more about what was happening and see that there's a movement that's still going on from stuff I had left long ago and repented of long ago. and that I needed to study it again from a new perspective, from the perspective of what the church teaches, what Jesus reveals in the scripture. I find that a lot of the New Agers want to find out what Jesus says. In some ways, they also don't want it, because I also see them misquote the New Testament a lot and say a lot of things about the New Testament that are not quite true. And we're going to talk about that too. But for us, I want to let this be a discussion and a sharing by which we first of all realize that we should not get involved in New Age mindsets, states of consciousness, and a lot of other things. We can discern that some things that New Agers do are okay because they're just human life, like having a mental health. That's human life. That's good to have mental health. To be creative is good. But we don't want to get into their mindset. Secondly, for those who are already involved in a New Age way of life, I'd like to invite some of you to reconsider the things that you're doing and the practices you're involved in to get out of them. And thirdly, I'm very concerned that those of us who are believers can come back and respond and say, Jesus is the Lord. Jesus will be a good answer for what you need, and he has a lot to teach you. So God bless you, and we'll see you again next time.